as we begin this new series today. It's dealing with time. You know, what's amazing is the next song on the list, at number 36, is called Time. Perfect timing, wasn't it? Yeah. And I want to just briefly introduce you to what you need to know. And I think you can go along with this, and I hope you'd be blessed. To start everything off, let me make a statement. Understanding the times and seasons is a key for our victory. I'll say it again. Understanding the times and seasons is key for our victory. Absolutely. Jesus said, unless you know the times and the seasons. Because there's a spiritual alignment that God has placed. There's an alignment happening. Everything in God's kingdom has an alignment. Everything lines up from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation. The whole word of God lines up. Now, in this thought of what God is doing in alignment, I want to begin in 1 Corinthians 12:28, because in the New Testament season, and that's what we're in right now, of course, I'm a big studier of Old Testament Hebrew. Everybody that knows me knows that I can't wait to get into the study of the Hebrew words. Actually, more than the Greek. Everybody does the Greek. I do the Hebrew because I've learned something over the years. Okay? The Old Testament is the foundational principle for the New Testament. Now, this is what Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set in the church, number one, first prophets, secondly, first apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. I want you to see that. Everybody forgets about that. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers. Look at this. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I want you to look here. God has set some in the church. He didn't say it was only for a little while. I'm part of the church, and so are you. Apostles, prophets, teachers. After that, miracles. And that's interesting. That's spiritual gifting. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. So let's look at the first area. We're not going to do an in-depth study of each of these, but enough to get us on the way. God has set in the church first apostles. Apostles, what's the characteristics of an apostle? Well, it's governing, warring, fathering, mothering, sending, completing, and building. That's what apostles do. That's what apostles do. They govern. They're part of the warring system that the Lord has. They nurture. A good apostle will nurture. They send. For instance, a overseer or bishop in an ecclesiastical order, like in the Church of God, we have a general overseer. Some people call it something else, and that's fine. That office, I believe when they go into that office, they're under the apostolic anointing because they send. They send people to point A, point B. They complete and they build. Second is prophets. Prophets give supernatural words. They speak for God and others. And in the Word of God, there's several words in the Word of God that relate to prophets. Now, in your Bible, if you don't do the word studies, you just see the word prophets. Prophets. But if you do the word study, those word prophets in your Bible come out in different roles, what they do. Because prophets give supernatural words. They speak for God for another. And we can remember what the prophets of old, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, we understand that. Isaiah. But it says that these prophets are in the church. That's what it says, right? 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Not just Old Testament times. Same thing for the apostles. Not just when Peter, James, and John were around. Now, the words that, again, we're not going to go into the actual Hebrew Greek words, all right? You can, it's a great study for you if that's what you want to do. Just go ahead, get your concordances, lexicons, whatever you're comfortable with. And when you see the word prophet, look it up and see what it actually means. One word for prophet means bubble up or stir the river or a fountain that springs forth. Another word for prophet means those that preach or open up the heavens or build up. The third means those that see or encourage. Fourth means those that watch or demolish. The next one, vision, what God will do. Now, in the words, there's a foretelling. Prophecy foretells the future, not fortune telling. See, the enemy, the devil has reproduced all the spiritual gifting. You know that, don't you? That's why you have these soothsayers around. You go down to whatever, and they'll read your fortune. See, because the enemy duplicates everything God has. So if the prophets, apostles, teachers, and all that were involved in the church was non-existent in these days, there'd be no need for the devil to reproduce something that doesn't exist in the now. That's why you have all these fortune tellers and, you know, reading the crystal ball and reading the cards and the tarot cards and all this other mysticism. And that's what is happening now. Wicca. All these things are reproducing that which God has placed in the church. There'd be no need to have, you know, a soothsayer if there was no honest soothsayer. You're not going to duplicate something that is not involved with the kingdom of God. Now, those that are involved in prophecies, those who foretell the future, or expound with wisdom and not with fortune telling. Now, let me tell you about this because the prophets are so important. Now, but that doesn't finish it. There's a pastor, right? I'm one. The pastoral office is changing drastically in the new wineskin. God is changing things. God is changing things. There's basic pastoral functions. One's a doorkeeper, a spiritual doorkeeper. Another's watchman, the watchman on the wall. Another one is gentle and affectionate, not a tyrant, not abusive. Another one is called to comfort, exhort, and to warn. That's pastoral functioning. Doorkeeper, you keep the doors of the church when pastors, the spiritual doors. They're watchmen on the wall. They keep an eye out for the wolves that enter into the congregations. But they're gentle and affectionate. And they're not abusive and not full of, I am the pastor and you will do what I say. They're called to comfort, exhort, and to warn. Now, the prophets experience the following to represent God on the earth to the people. One, a prophet's always called from God. When somebody says, well, there's a lot of false prophets. Double check mark. Absolutely. There's a lot of false prophets, but you don't have something false if there's not something true. We only have counterfeit money if we have money that's not counterfeit, right? You can't make money that's counterfeit if there's no real money. So a call from God. Secondly, direct visitations from God. God will speak prophetically. Three, throne room or heavenly court visitations. God will minister some strong anointing. Four, dreams and visions. Five, demonstrations of symbolic acts and living parables. Six, the working of miracles. Seven, divine writing where God begins. These are prophetics. You read about this in the Word of God, divine supernatural discernment. This is prophets. Now, let me not confuse somebody. You can operate in an office versus operating in ministry of that office. All right? You can operate in spiritual gifting. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I do. I've always believed that since I was a boy. I've seen the Spirit in operation. I've always believed that. And I've seen God work. There's a difference in spiritual gifting and the office of something. A pastor can operate in teaching, but a pastor may have the gift of teaching too. Or a person that has the gift of teaching may not operate as a teacher. See, so it works both ways. Now, this is why the devil's afraid of you. This is why he is so afraid of you. Most Christians are afraid of the devil. Actually, the devil's afraid of you because you are a force in the earth to be reckoned with. The enemy is, he shakes in his ugly red boots. You are a force in the earth to be reckoned with. The church, the body of Christ, is the problem that the satanic realm has. It's the children of the living God that operates in the power and presence of the Spirit and the anointing. That's the problem that the devil has. You ever notice some folks? Just observation. There's some folks that are real threats to the enemy. And there's other Christians that the devil doesn't bother. Hear people say, well, the devil's not bothering me. Well, then you better take a look at your life. I'm not doing no warfare, no devil. Well, then you are absolutely not a threat. It's the threats that the enemy goes against. It's the threats. It's the army that has the ability and the strength in the natural to destroy their enemy. The army that has no power, no strength, no authority, no weaponry. Why bother? You only deal with what's a threat to you. So a person that's operating in the power of the Holy Spirit is a threat to the enemy, and that's where the warfare comes in. That's where it happens. It's when, oh no, Here they come again. Oh, gee. It's, they don't do nothing. They just trot into church and trot out and maybe not trot either. You know what I'm saying? There's people up there that just, I never have any problems with the devil. No, because you don't have enough power with God to blow out a match in a windstorm. If you lit a match and stood out in the middle of a hurricane, it wouldn't blow the match out. There's no authority, no power in your life. You don't understand how things work. You're just floating down the crazy river, you know? Devil doesn't bother with you. You are a force in the earth to be reckoned with. You are. And when you understand that, see, you have to gain kingdom strength and momentum now. Just look around what's going on. Just look around what's going on in our world right now. We're in a war. I think everybody recognizes that. I think everybody recognizes that we are in a war. I believe they do. I believe they recognize that, wow, this thing's going on here. But they don't know what it is. And it's not against people. It's not against people. It's against spiritual items. Now, you have to gain momentum, strength and momentum now. You got to do it. You got to operate in kingdom momentum. Kingdom momentum. You know what's interesting? You can look at a great locomotive. We stopped the other day right here, coming back, and the gates went down. This heard the whistle, and this giant locomotive pulling cars that were full of rocks and the power it was generating. And just to stop that locomotive is you put down a block, put it under the drive wheels, and that locomotive goes nowhere. It just sits there and grinds. You take a wonderful airplane and you put under the wheels of that plane two little pieces of wood. Plane goes nowhere. See, don't let the enemy stop your momentum. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, say the word now, now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. But you're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 says, and this word yet once more signifieth the moving of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. 28. Wherefore, receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You're in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You're in a kingdom that absolutely cannot be shaken. Why? Because the kingdom of God is established. And those that are in that kingdom gain strength and momentum. There's power in the kingdom of God. We'll talk about more of that coming up tomorrow, okay? And we'll look at our new series on time.